It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
We're doing this live. What's up, guys? Another episode of All the Fistful of Collars, and it is the big one. It is the biggest, if anything, because we're only 8 days out from ADCC 2019, and we are all super, super jacked to be talking all things about ADCC this week. We have got at the table Chase Smith, Ryan Smith, no relation, even though they do kind of look alike, right?
A little bit, yeah. From my bad side, I do.
If I got Chase and I kind of stretched you out a little bit.
Ryan looks like he could be Chase's older brother, I think.
There you go, yeah.
That's rude. That's rude to him. I'm older than him.
But that's a compliment, because he's saying that you look young.
That's it.
We got Michael Sears and we got myself, Howell Teague. So, today, ADCC. Wow, there is a lot to talk about. And that is no exaggeration, because now we're kind of coming into the home stretch. You know, everybody's super excited. Michael and I were in New York last week. We were at the Pan No Gi Championships, which is actually a super cool event, right, Mike?
Yeah, it was really cool. We saw 7 different people that are doing ADCC where they're competing. Hit some mixed results for them, but I mean, the big story was Keenan lost in his weight, came back to win the absolute. But it's interesting. You talked to him a lot about how he's changing up his style.
Yeah, I mean, we followed him right through the tournament. He was really super accommodating to us, like sticking a camera in his face every step of the way. Sorry, Keenan. But I mean, that was a freaking awesome tournament. It was short and sweet, just a nice little tune-up for ADCC. But like Mike said, there were a lot of guys from ADCC who were there competing, and we're just a bunch of other guys who weren't as well, you know, just happened to be there coaching, like Gordon and Jameel Hill. So talking to all these guys, the general consensus is that these guys are all so excited for ADCC. It's hard not to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, the countdown, I feel like it's been going forever. I know I'm just ready to get in that building and see some damn matches. I mean, it's been a lot of work, and we're all super pumped, but we're right there. I'm just, I can barely sleep. I'm so excited. I'm ready for this.
Ready to go to Anaheim.
So what did you think about the dynamic with Keena being a part of Danaher's now?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I found it intriguing, I'm going to say. So if you haven't seen it, I suggest you go check it out. We did a follow-along with Keenan, right? Like, we followed him through every match through his weight division. He only had 2. He won one, he lost one, lost in the final. And then he came back and he did the absolute division. He won that, right? So silver and a gold, kind of a weird one, right?
Yeah.
But like Mike says, there was a dynamic that everybody noticed, because, well, you guys saw, right? Gordon was in Keenan's corner for this. Mm. This is kind of weird, right? Kind of unexpected. But, I mean, Keenan's been there training for the last couple of weeks, but I didn't really expect Gordon to be coaching him every step of the way, considering they're in the same weight division in a couple of weeks.
What was the dynamic between them like?
Yeah, it's Coach Gordon.
It was Coach Gordon. It was 100% Gordon was like telling Keenan straight up what to do.
Giving him advice in between matches, and yeah, it was everything, yeah.
Gordon told Keenan to do the absolute when he lost his weight division.
Yeah, I thought that was a great part of the video you guys put out. This actually speaks to a bigger trend, too, we've seen, where we got Muhammad Ali is training with Cyborg down at Fight Sports right now to get ready for ADCC. There seems to be the traditional separation of, like, my opponent is my enemy, or they can't learn my secrets. That's gone. That seems to be completely gone at the highest level right now, and I think it's great, but what do you guys, is it weird?
It was weird.
It's a little weird, right?
What happens if they fight, right? Because Keenan's telling you in the interview, he's basically throwing his old game out the window, and he's all in on Danaher now.
I'm not the only one who noticed this, and a few people commented on it to me as well, but there seemed to be like a real kind of Big Brother thing going on with Gordon, right? And Gordon's the younger guy. But I think it's kind of notable maybe that Gordon is the only person to have ever tapped out Keenan in competition. He has two submission wins over him, right? And like nobody else has tapped out Keenan. So Keenan go in there and by all accounts, like, you know, getting his ass kicked in training, and apparently Gordon's been sort of kind of working him over. Like, I'm not saying those exact words came through to me, but Keenan was pretty kind of open about the fact that Gordon seems to be doing the better in the training and stuff. And then to go into the competition, it was, it really was like kind of like a Big Brother thing going on. So,
well, they don't even look, when they stand next to each other, they don't even look like they're about to compete in the same weight class.
No, they don't.
Gordon looks massively bigger. Yeah.
And you know, no funny story. I said to Gordon, I was like, damn, dude, you look huge. And he's like, thanks.
Short and sweet story you got there.
Yeah, check
out on his Instagram, though. He's weighing 215. I think he's like 3 pounds under the limit, so there's no cut. So I'm eating like a fudge sandwich of the night or fudgesicle or whatever it was. So he's on point.
Check out that video, though. If it's a rare edit by How, you know, if you like BJJ, if you like BJJ Hacks, check it out, because Hal's so busy, he doesn't do much long editing like that. But he put it together. It's got a little BJJ Hacks vibe, and it's really, really insightful to Keenan and the way he's changing up his camp for this.
Yeah, we're going to throw that video up on YouTube in a few days as well, just to let you guys know. So we'll give you that one for free because it's a special one. So
okay.
Speaking about Gordon looking big, we were talking with Dylan, and Dylan, he'd rather be at 88. He's way smaller than these guys going in there.
Yeah, yeah. Cause that's a tough one, right? Because Dylan's going to have to go up a division because Murillo's in at 88. So you guys saw the interview with Dylan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, strong words from Dylan. But
always, right?
I will say, I think...
get a bit closer to that mic, Jesus.
Looking at Dylan through the years... I will say he's 100% in my short list of people I don't believe is juicing at all. Like, he doesn't have the body that's like super all, jacked. Right. There's no crazy traps. Like, all the telltale signs are not on Dylan. So I got to respect him for I think really being a clean athlete in both MMA and jiu-jitsu, which are notoriously kind of wild sports for that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't know. Calling guys out like Gordon for PED usage is crazy because – it's unproven at this point, but Dylan's sticking to his guns. So
it's sort of
he's not the only person that he accused of, though.
Right, multiple people. Yeah, of course.
No, he basically said the entire division. Right. Right. In typical Dylan style, yeah. He's like, they're all juice heads. So.
Does it matter in an event where, you know, there's no testing? It's not the Olympics where, you know, you're legit cheating. You know,
that's maybe a discussion for another day. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that Dylan did, like, you know, he's obviously fired up, but he knows that he's going to have a big size disadvantage against these guys because these guys, what's 99? It's like 216?
It's like 218, I want to say.
218, somewhere around there. So in pounds, 218.2. And Dylan said he's like 195 right now.
Yeah, he can make 88, no problem.
Easy, right? Yeah. But Murillo's in at 88, and he doesn't want to do that because he'd have to potentially, you know, go up against the guy who's now his coach. Yeah. So that's not going to happen. But it does open up the question, though, of like the 99-kilogram division in general. Because, I don't know, do you guys think it's as competitive as maybe we're kind of saying? You know, or do you think this is Gordon's to run away with?
I think it's Gordon's to run away with. I don't realistically see anybody under 99 that... can challenge him.
Zero hesitation there.
I gotta disagree.
What about Vinny's beat him before? Vinny was an interesting throw some kicks in there. What are you thinking, Chase?
So Michael and I, we've been shooting these preview videos, some analysis of the rosters for each division, and we just finished the under 99 this morning. And it's definitely, don't get me wrong, Gordon's the front runner. I think it's Gordon's to win, but there are some key challenges in that division. Vinny Magalhães is, I think, a key component there. He has a recent win over Gordon. And it was by criteria. It was a controversial match. I think he won by what would be called an advantage or something like that. But still, he's a three-time bronze medalist and a one-time ADCC champion, Vinny is. So you can't count this dude out. Plus, he has one of the best finishing rates, I think, out of anyone. We just put out a pretty cool article
about that. Yeah, where was he in
that
ranking? You did an analysis, right?
For the all-time?
Yeah, for the guys coming into this ADCC.
You did 65% of his ADCC – Yeah, 65% of his ADCC matches have been subs.
That's a lot.
Good.
That's high.
Yeah, that's then, super good.
Especially for being in like four or five ADCCs.
Yeah, he's got 17 wins. That's 65. And then 60 overall no-gi, 67% of his wins have been submissions. So Vinny, yeah, he gets after it.
Man, he does get after. That's actually super high because, you know, you think, oh, 67% doesn't sound that much. But when you consider these are elite level black belts, finishes aren't that common, right?
Yeah, I mean, tapping, you know, 65% of people at ADCC, the biggest grappling event in no-gi, these are all, I mean, it's not right, no scrubs there. You're tapping all legit people. So it's, yeah, it's incredible.
So, Chase, you mentioned you have some thoughts on the 99-kilogram division. Ryan's going all in on Gordon on this one.
Yep. Well, I like I said,
Michael seems to think that Vinny's going to be the disruptor here.
I don't think, I just think you got to give Vinny credit. I don't have Vinny winning it right now, but, I mean, he's beat Gordon before, so you got to think about him.
I'm with Michael here. That's what I was getting to, is that Vinny could disrupt some dreams. But we have a lot of really, really key athletes here. We have Patrick Gaudio, I think, had a great match with Gordon earlier. That was, of course, without the heel hooks, without that part of the equation, and that could really change things. But we also have Jackson Souza, Dylan, Felipe Andrews, another dark horse we were
Jackson
talking about.
Jackson took third last time. Hulk, don't forget Hulk. I'm high on Hulk. I know you're not after Vegas, but I still think Hulk could pull it off.
There is a big question mark over Hulk after what happened to Vegas in the Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his single leg looked great, but his cardio is the question after Vegas, right? I mean,
long matches at ADCC as
That's what I was saying.
Not
10-minute
matches. Right?
But was he trying to peak for ADCC? Was he not quite ready? And also, he's not going to be wrestling Cyborg. He might be not using much strength against these guys. Might have burned himself out a little bit against Briggs, beating him 11-0. I could see Hulk making the final here for sure.
But I got to say,
go on.
The person I have as my second favorite is Keenan. But the question that Michael and I had is, what does Keenan do if he faces Gordon?
He's going against his coach now. He's got to go fight his master. What's he going to do? He's got to fight his sensei.
Yeah. But, I mean, does he try to – you can't play the Danaher system against the guy who was raised in it.
Hell no. You've got to go back to your A game. Yeah, that's actually not worked out twice now.
Yeah.
And you'd have to think that Gordon's – not only has his experience in competition, you know, it's given him a very, very good look at that. But they've trained together a bunch, obviously, since then. So – he's probably figured out all the weak spots, right?
You got to give Gordon the advantage, right, in that matchup. But you never know. Maybe Keenan's also doing a little bit of homework. I'm sure he's making
notes. So that's a long-winded
notes.
Answer, but you seem to be picking Gordon as well.
I do pick Gordon.
Yeah. I could see Hulk out-wrestling Keenan. If they met each other, if they end up in the semifinal or something, former teammates be interested. I could see Hulk out-wrestling Keenan for sure.
Strategy's huge in ADCC. I don't know. Let's take a look at the 99. I mean, it kind of is dumb to bet against Gordon, but I like what you said, Mike, and especially what you ran through a couple of names there, Chase, about how picking the guys. If there is anybody who could beat him, who would it be?
Dylan Danis, maybe. Dylan Danis pushed him last time.
I think the internet would explode if Dylan Danis beat Gordon.
Gaudio pushed him before. Dylan Danis pushed him before.
I was going to say, man, honestly, I think that, you know, anything can happen, but I think Dylan is definitely a disruptor in that division because we luckily got to see him train at Unity Thursday, Friday, and he's looking so sharp. And Paulo Miao had some really, really good comments about him as well, saying that Dylan's like a sniper. Like, you leave one tiny little thing hanging out there, one small mistake, one opening, and he's on it. And I think a lot of people do not give Dylan's jiu-jitsu the credit it deserves because, let's be frank, Dylan is a very polarizing character, and not a lot of people like him.
Yeah, half the division doesn't like him.
Yeah, half the jiu-jitsu community doesn't like him. Okay. But it's maybe a little bit of a stretch to say that he doesn't have good jiu-jitsu because he can hang with any world-class black belt. He doesn't have the results because, let's be frank, Dylan doesn't fight smart. Dylan doesn't give a shit about strategy. That is his biggest problem. He does not... go out there looking to play the points game. It's almost like dishonorable for him to win by points. He wants to go out and finish the guy. And that is really hard, like we just said. So what happens is he goes out there and he loses matches that he should have won because he's thrown himself into all kind of crazy positions looking for a submission, when, to be honest, if he just locked the game down and scored on points, his record could be a lot better than it is. Now, when I spoke to Gordon, Gordon had a really, you know, kind of a strong rebuttal for when we said, you know, what do you think about Dylan's comments recently? And Gordon was just like, he sucks. Like, he's got like a, you know, a 0.500 win rate or something like that in jiu-jitsu. And it's true. But Gordon also acknowledges the fact that he can hang and that his jiu-jitsu is better than people think. So I don't know. It really is a tough stretch of the imagination to pick Dylan going through because I just don't see his style, you know, taking him there. But can't write him out. But I am also going to say that Gaudio, for me, is one of the biggest dark horses in that category. And I got to say, people saying like, oh yeah, what about the leg locks? Listen, Gaudio has got one of the most underrated technical games in jiu-jitsu. Like, by far. The guy looks like a physical monster. He is a physical monster, right? But people seem to ignore the fact that he actually pulls guard a lot. And he has a great guard game. He has a great single leg X. He has a great X guard. He wrestles up from bottom really well. He's a phenomenal competitor as well. He knows the points game inside out. He's been competing at the highest level since he was a freaking yellow belt. You know, he's been going at it head-to-head with other guys who are now literally among the best in the world. Like, him and Lucas Hulk Barbosa have been fighting each other since they were yellow belts. Like, he grew up going against the top guys in the world. He is an elite competitor. But he doesn't have the track record in no-gi like some of these guys do. So I feel like some people are looking past Gaudio.
A couple things on that. A couple things I like about Dylan. It sounds crazy considering that he's 0-2 at ADCC, but I think he's got a good style for ADCC. He likes to scramble. He thrives in the scramble. He's got decent wrestling. He's got a good guillotine. Something I like about him is thriving in that scramble, liking the scramble, being lighter than these guys. He's got less to carry around. I think he'll be able to push the pace a little bit more. So it'll be interesting. He's got nothing to lose, too. He's an MMA fighter now. He's not, you know. And also, Gaudio. Yeah, he doesn't have the no-gi experience, but he's scrappy. And also, something about Gaudio. He's gone all in for no gi since Worlds, really. He used to basically be a gi guy. He moved to Miami. He's been doing a camp with. He's been doing no gi competition.
For like months, right?
Yeah, been there for like 2 or 3 months. He's did Kasai. He did the Grand Prix. He's been focused all on no gi, and I'll be really interested to see how his game's evolved since then.
I agree. What else about the 99? We just got a new announcement because Claudio Calasanz pulled out, so Trattor, Vinicius Trattor, came in as the latest man to fill out that division. Of course, he's the guy who just beat Keenan on the weekends.
Beat Panza in Vegas, too. He's got some good no-gi wins recently.
Yeah, yep. Trattor is super tough. Out of Alliance there, trains at Marcelo Garcia Academy quite a bit. I really like his over-under passes. It looks a little bit like Bernardo Faria, like a smaller version.
You can see why they call him the Trattor, right?
Yeah, he's just slowly space, moving right? forward, yeah.
He's a lot of fun. My eye for a dark horse is on Tex Johnson. So Tex, trials winner, also has perhaps a submission of the year over Felipe Pena at Kasai with that heel hook finish.
Tex is big, man. We saw him at like 240 pounds.
He said
at
he's
least.
Like 240 right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So wow. He's going to have a severe cut.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But he's a huge man. Doesn't wrestle at all, though, which is definitely curious given his frame. You look at him, he looks like a freaking linebacker.
Always
right?
pulls guard.
He sits down immediately, so he's going to have to work fast. He's going to have to work in those first 5 minutes to pull guard, get to his positions, and hopefully get a finish.
Man, I think he can mess some stuff up, but...
I mean, he tapped Felipe Pena. He can beat anybody.
That goes to show.
Yeah.
But he did not look great last week in
it's
no
true.
Pants.
It is
Man,
true.
Max Jimenez ran over him, like mounted him, and... That's actually amazing because Max literally got the invite to ADCC like hours later.
Yeah, but that match put Max into ADCC basically.
Pretty much,
and that was what makes me feel good about Tex moving down. That I mean, if Max is beating him up like that, he's got a better chance at 99.
But you know why that doesn't faze me actually about Tex is Tex is so hot and cold. Like he could have a shit weekend like that and come back and be a world beater the next
like
next 10 days.
Three guys in a row. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He's very possible.
He tapped Jackson too. Remember a year ago, no gi pants. He footlocked Jackson.
He tapped Jackson in like 30 seconds, right? So
he's my pick for a guy that could do some damage. I think
super dangerous for sure. I gotta say, I think 99. Like we've talked about all these divisions, 66, 77, super competitive, wide open. But I think all eyes are on 99 for good reason, right?
99 is fun too because there aren't any teammates. We were looking at that, and so at ADCC, teammates will have to fight each other in the second round or earlier, and that really kind of will shape the bracket and takes out some favorites. Like at 88, for example, we have Josh Hinger. We'll have to face Mike Perez potentially in the second round. Two of those guys that could be front runners, one's leaving early. Mm-hmm. In 99, all these names we're talking about, they're going to be seeded organically. You're seeded more based on merit versus the teammate structure we have to face. So
I'm glad you brought that up about the seeding because this is something that we've been playing around with a little bit. So
Going deep into it. Yeah.
We'd be going deep, to be fair. Like, I spoke to the guys from ADCC a little while ago to just kind of get a handle, you know, on the seeding process. Like, how these guys were actually put in the brackets. So what criteria they use to draw up the seeds. Because you got 1 to 16 in the men's divisions and 1 through 8 in the women's, right? And if you print out, and you can easily find these online, if you print out a standard 16-man elimination bracket, it'll even have like the numbers of where those seeded guys should go. And this the logic is that the number one seed in his first match, he gets the number 16 seed. And right on the other side of that bracket is the number two seed, because the logic is that number one and number two should possibly meet in the final. But ADCC seeding gets a little bit muddy, shall we say, a little bit murky, because then you have to consider things like, you say, the teammates complication, where teammates cannot fight any later than the second round at ADCC. It's either first or second round. And 99's that one division where that doesn't happen. So how would you see that division? Like, let's talk about that.
I think you got to go Gordon 1 and Keenan 2. I mean, they both made the finals at the last ADCC, down a weight, but...
Yeah, and Yuri, the champion of 99, moved up.
The other silver medalist 99. Is in Pergisa's in the super fight. So
yeah, Michael and I both agreed on that this morning when we were doing our analysis video. That makes
absolutely
the most
Gordon
sense.
Number one seed.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then
Jackson's a third place finisher in this division from last time.
Yeah, you've got a bunch of ADCC medalists in there. You've got silver medal last year, 88 Keenan. You've got
Vinny.
You've got Vinny, who's a multiple time medalist and, like you say, a former champion. Jackson was a third place finisher in this division 2 years ago. So
I think Hulk's got to be seated high, though, too. He's done a lot outside of ADCC.
Nogi world champion.
Double gold at Nogi Worlds. Beat Joao Gabriel that year in the final.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, though, right? Because, you know, does Vinny's overall track record in ADCC and his accomplishments as a whole, do they rank higher than a silver medal in a different weight class? Like, does that put him potentially the number two
above
seed?
Keenan, I think it's...
I think Keenan, too.
I think Keenan has to be number two. Mm-hmm. Even Vinny's win over Gordon, that's coming up on 18 months, right? That's a long time ago. So I think Vinny's top five. I think that seems like a lock to me.
I might put him three or four. I'm going Gordon and Keenan, one and two. And then I think Jackson, Vinny, three and four. Hulk, five, probably. I mean, whether you want to put Jackson or Vinny ahead of each other. And then I'd give Hulk the five seed, probably.
You know, it was funny. I asked Gordon, you know, what happens when you guys, or if you guys meet at Nogi ADCC, you know, who coaches against who? Because, like, you know, Gordon was coaching him through Nogi Pans, and he said, we're going to coach each other during the match. Like, yeah. Like, just imagine Gordon whispering in Keenan's ear, like, take the arm, try it, go on. I'm not tricking you, honest.
I'm thinking, looking at this list, the guys, you like to say it, how disruptors, there's a lot of guys, Vinny, Gaugio, Dylan Dennis, Felipe Andrew, Tex. There's a lot of guys that you could see popping up and beating one of the favorites, for sure.
Felipe Andrew actually is
Trattor,
a guy that
too.
I think, yeah, Trattor 100%. Yeah. Now that he's come in, he's a big disruptor as well. Because he has a win over some, you know, like guys who have made it to ADCC.
Well,
excuse me, but Felipe Andrew, he is among the darkest of the dark horses for me. Because this guy suffers from something of a personality issue. He does not put himself out there at all. Super quiet, very stoic kind of guy. Never really posts much to social media. Very, very kind of low-key dude. Such a good finisher.
He's a killer, man.
Absolute killer. Got two main weapons. Got the triangle, and he's got the footlock, right?
What if he heel hooks off those footlock entries now? What if he's been working on that?
Yeah, that's a big question. And, you know, we were watching some clips of him the other day, right, Chase? Mm-hmm. And we noticed something about his wrestling, right?
He's good. He looked really comfortable in the scramble as well, something we were talking about Dylan doing. I wouldn't call it classically amazing wrestling, but he didn't seem to be weak there. And ADCC, being strong and confident and like hard to put down, goes a really long way. So, I think he's no slouch in the stand-up department.
I heard when I was just, you know, talking to ADCC with like the Purple Belts at Unity, they were telling me that Felipe Andrew actually competes in wrestling tournaments. I'm not sure how true that is, but that's what they were telling me.
Wow.
Yeah, he just is. Something I like about Trattor, we saw this at Nogi Pans. He's short. He's got that short stature compared to these guys. He's hard to get in on. He's very conservative. He doesn't make mistakes. You don't see many Trator matches that open up. It's almost like a chess match. Huh. And it's like, if you don't take him down, if he gets on top, he's hard to sweep. I could see him grinding out some ref decisions against some of these guys for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's so hard to score on. Keenan couldn't move him, yep. right? He could not move him from bottom. That's why he called the Tractor. No, he's really, really solid.
He's kind of like the DJ Jackson of his division as far as his body type, you know, and like
yeah.
getting on top.
You got to change the levels. Analogy, I mean, these guys are 6 inches taller than him. You got to change levels on him. He's short, stocky, he's strong, and he's positionally, he doesn't put himself out of position. He fights very smart, very conservative.
Yeah. So, 99-kilogram division, super, super interesting. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned there about the wrestling being such a factor, and we've talked about it a lot. You know, this phrase has actually been uttered. I think it was Josh Hinger who said that ADCC is basically a wrestling tournament with submissions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the wrestling is obviously something that comes around now more than ever. It's more important at ADCC than at any other tournament in the world ever. And you've been diving into the wrestling side of things, right, Ryan?
I have. I'm putting together a wrestling compilation. So I've been doing a deep dive on interviews of ADCC competitors and coaches like John Donaher talking about how important wrestling is for ADCC.
Well, these guys basically, they join a wrestling team basically for this camp. You see these guys on Instagram and their stories, mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. what are they doing? They're in wrestling every single day. Some of these guys are in legit like wrestling with ASICS wrestling shoes on, like at a wrestling practice. Yeah.
Every video, every clip I've seen, every social media post from Yuri Simoes I've seen, he's wearing wrestling shoes.
Yeah, Dante Leon goes to a freestyle regional training center in Ohio.
And everyone's watching Flow Wrestling. Like it's wrestling worlds right now as well, so that's a big thing.
Yeah, we saw Bea Mosquito was on the treadmill watching worlds from Kazakhstan, wrestling worlds.
It's on right now, right? So
I've done a study now of every single champion from 66 all the way through the absolute champions, men and women, and wrestling is pretty much the dominant theme throughout, except one man really didn't use wrestling
Bucks
at
the
all
trend.
Felipe Pena, he was the only guy that really relied on his guard almost entirely. He has one
That's
body lock kind of takedown on Victor Honorio where he came up from a scramble, took his back standing, and then managed to use like a trip to take him down. That was the only real wrestling movement he did. He got out wrestled in the 99 final with Yuri Samoyes. Yuri out wrestled him to win that match.
That's how he won. He just the one takedown, right?
That's how Yuri won. But for all of his points scored, Felipe was attacking from guard, basically.
That's interesting because this year he's actually placing a bigger emphasis on his wrestling.
Well, he asked with Galbao, right?
No choice, right?
Yeah, you give up. You can't go out there and just pull up and give a penalty on Galbao.
But because we're talking about it, it was a maybe we can debate this because it's definitely there's not a sure answer. I was looking at his match with Gordon, and so at a final at ADCC, positive points start at 10 minutes, but negative points start immediately, which is different than the opening rounds. You can pull guard in the opening round.
No
penalty for the first 5 minutes. However, if Felipe sat immediately in his match with Gordon, he would have been given a negative point. So there was some wrestling in that match, and he was taken down at the 11-minute mark. Now, mm-hmm. my question was, as I'm watching this and taking note of the fact that Felipe pulled guard in every single one of his other matches, did he let Gordon take him down? Because it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it was a conceded takedown, obviously. However, the timing of it, and also looking at his other strategy, maybe is influencing me to believe that he was looking at the clock. He'd already stuffed one shot. He defended one takedown, and then he was weighing on him. He was weighing on Gordon at 11 minutes, which is right before point start, settles in the guard. Gordon takes him down. He goes right into his reverse De La Riva, which he was using against everyone in that tournament. I don't know. It's interesting, but he could do that same thing versus Galvao. But what's also
interesting...
Concede
the takedown with no penalty or no points,
no points
in that initial half, the first half of that match.
I buy it.
In the commentary, which confused me initially, Galvao was commentating that match, and he said when Felipe was taken down, I don't know why he pulled guard there. And that's what set it all off for me. I was like, what? He didn't pull guard.
Can I just get the tinfoil hat right now? Chase is going down this conspiracy.
It's late at night. I'm spiraling out of control.
I'm with him. There's a lot of red flags here. I sit in the desk next to Chase, and he sort of took his headphones off and turned to me. He's like, "Whoa, man, I think he gave up this single leg on purpose." So I sort of went down this rabbit hole with him, and I think this might be a legit strategy.
There you go. I've got a co-conspirator.
Yeah. Felipe's a strategizer. I mean, that's his thing. He's a smart guy.
Smart,
yeah. I mean, I can definitely see Felipe being like, all right, I'm just going to go out here, give up a single leg, and then start with my guard that I want, you know? As opposed to wasting half the match trying not to get taken down against a superior wrestler.
Yeah, you have to say that Galvão's definitely got the edge in the wrestling, right? And he's proved it time and time again in all of his ADCC matches. The wrestling has been a critical factor in him winning. So, but going back to the wrestling thing, Ryan, what is the overall consensus from the people that, you know, you've collected all these various interviews together? What is the general consensus from people about wrestling at ADCC?
Well, the consensus is most jiu-jitsu practitioners don't like to train it, but they're...
True.
I wonder why. It's been really, really hard, yeah.
It takes a lot more energy, but what we're starting to see is guys with a wrestling background are really grateful for it because of that mindset of constantly trying to get on top, whereas in jiu-jitsu, you kind of have the mindset of, I can pull guard and just kind of lay there. But even from guys like John Donaher are really preaching the benefits of jiu-jitsu leading up to ADCC and the importance
of
wrestling leading up to ADCC and maintaining a top position, using gravity to your advantage.
Yeah, it's interesting going to see these guys training and stuff. These guys are jiu-jitsu guys, but they all go deep into flow wrestling.
Yeah,
you see these guys, they watch all the flow wrestling documentaries and everything. Yeah, it's like they become wrestlers for a few months going into this thing.
It's kind of inspiring, right? You know, that especially if you're looking for that little extra bit of motivation that the jiu-jitsu guy needs, because wrestling is hard. Wrestling sucks. It's miserable. And, you know, it takes a lot of energy and dedication to train it. So firing up some of those awesome flow films that we have on flow wrestling and kind of, you know, watching the best in the world do what they do must help going into ADCC, right? Stoke those fires.
Yeah, he's not doing this tournament, but Gutenberg, remember, told us that one year that he watches Terry, the flow wrestling documentary.
That's right.
Night before he competes, he watches Terry.
Yeah. That's awesome. Sorry, if you guys are wondering what the noise is, we have a special guest in the studio today. Actually, we have Mojo the dog.
Mojo.
She's kind of walking around here, just chilling out and stuff, so... Be quiet, Mojo.
Yeah.
unless you have a comment on wrestling in jiu-jitsu, I'm not interested. But why don't we go out on a limb here? Like, we're a week out. There aren't going to be that many massive changes to the lineups here, okay? The divisions are hopefully not going to change that much more. Maybe one or two names come in and out. But I think we know who the favorites are in each division, all right? Yeah. Why not? Let's go out on a limb here. Let's give our picks.
Okay.
Starting with 66 kilogram. One of the hardest divisions to pick, if you ask me. But who you got?
I'm going to start. I'm going to kick it off because someone else is going to take it. I like Paul Miao at 66.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
He's been right Smart there before. Yep. A lot of experience. I think he's basically fought all these guys at some point in his career. I like where he stands.
Interesting.
I agree. I was going to pick Paulo as well.
That's why I picked the first.
All right, everybody's picking Paulo. Yeah, Paulo, if I'm betting, Paulo's my pick. But, I mean, all right, if you guys could see a dark horse coming through, somebody that could disrupt it.
I got one.
All right.
Absolutely, Jamil Hill.
Jamil Hill.
And you know what? He wasn't even on my radar until last week when I got a chance to catch up with him.
He changed your mind in the interview.
Really did, yeah. Because, you know, the problem with Jamil, there is not a lot of no-gi stuff out there on him the last couple of years. Since he got his black belt, I believe he's only done two no-gi events.
He's got the Korea one.
He got one super fight in Korea, which he looked great. And he did no-gi pants a couple of years ago as well. And, you know, that's not a lot of information to go on to build up a picture of somebody's ADCC, somebody's no-gi game, especially going at something like ADCC. But we know how good a competitor Jamil is, right? How smart he is. And talking to him and him telling me that he's been competing against black belts with heel hooks at like Nagas and stuff since he was 14 years of age. So if there was ever any question about Jamil going to handle the no-gi game, he's got an answer. And the other thing, of course, is Jamil is like one of the best kind of, let's call it sort of the leg fighters in the game, right? Fantastic guard player. Super technical in any position, but he knows how to go guard against guard, which is pretty much the whole leg lock game, right? And they had Tex at TLI for a couple weeks as well. He was there training, and Tex has, you know, he's one of the best known leg lockers in his division, and he was getting some training at TLI for a couple weeks.
So Jamil just downloaded Texas.
You have to think so. Yeah, you have to think Jamil was there kind of looking at him, like getting all the information and just plugging it into his own game. So, you know, I would have said Gianni Grippo, but I got to say, unfortunately, and this is no offense, Gianni, but looking at his recent performances at the Las Vegas Open, where he fought Nogi, and also at the Pan Nogi last week, he went out first round Pan Nogi last week. He lost his first match.
No, he won one. He tapped a guy he lost in the semis.
He lost the second match.
He got ankle picked, though. He got taken down.
Taken down. And against the very unheralded, I believe, a new black belt, Emilio Hernandez.
Emilio Hernandez Rodriguez.
And he's a Zenith guy, right?
And Paulo handled him pretty easy in the next match.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. After the takedown, he couldn't get the points back. He could not score. He lost 2-0. Like, he got close a bunch of times, but I mean, ADCC, you're going to have to come up and wrestle up against these guys to get takedowns. It's going to be tough, so not encouraging.
Not. And, you know, that's disappointing almost because, you know, that doesn't mean Johnny has a lot of time to work and fix those mistakes, you know? You're not suddenly going to improve your entire takedown game in 2 weeks out. If there's a massive mindset shift or something that he can pull off, then I think it'll be phenomenal. And I know that I'm looking past all the real tough dark horses like your, for example, Bruno Frazado and your Tanquinho guys who...
Even dark horses, though? I mean, those guys have been on the podium there before.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, everybody's talking so much about Nicky Ryan, who's another good name that none of us mentioned, and guys like Nicky Ryan and Kennedy Maciel and Mateus Gabriel, that, you know, it's very easy to forget about these super, super tough guys. But of all those guys, and I feel that it is a pick'em as to who, you know, and how the bracket looks and who advances... And Jamil was also very open as well. He's like, I have no idea where I'm going to be seated. He's like, I can't even think about who I'm going to fight. The fact that, like, you know, six guys, I think there is, right?
Yeah, he's a wild card.
There's like, you've got three guys from Atos, three guys from Alliance, two from 10th Planet, eight guys. That is half the division. They're going to have to fight second round. So you slot in all the other guys in and amongst that. And Jamil's just like, I'm just one of many. So my seat is totally, you know, up for grabs. I'm just going to fight who I'm going to fight, not worry about it. Be prepared for a Tanquinho first or second round if that happens.
Oh, definitely something good.
Yeah, and just go through. So
there's no easy matches, really.
So. Hell no.
I had in my seeding, spoiler alert, my seeding article that's coming out on Monday, I believe I had Jamil like 8 or 9. I mean, no disrespect to Jamil, but these other guys just have way bigger no-gi accomplishments than him or ADCC.
That's the problem. Yeah. You can't seed him highly because he doesn't have the credits to back it up, right?
So. I think I would go with Mateus Gabriel. I mean, Paulo's my pick. If I'm betting money, Paulo, I would not be surprised if Mateus Gabriel shows up here and makes a name for himself. After tapping Marcio Andre, he beat Jamil in the heated match in the Pan final. After tapping Marcio Andre in the final, I mean, how often do you see that, even a submission in the IBJJF World Final? But he tapped Marcio Andre, who's a beast. He gets after it. He goes for the submissions and broke Kennedy's arm this year. I could see Mateus Gabriel showing up and making some waves.
77. Chase, you kicked off last time. Ryan, how about you give us give us your pick for this one?
JT.
Really?
Yeah, no hesitation, JT.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you think he's going to do the double?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm also looking at Wagner. I'm looking at Lucas to give him a tough time, but ultimately I think JT.
Well, that's the podium from last time round as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Ryan's just going bets. Ryan's going chalk with it. He's taking the number one seed. Yeah.
I can't blame him, though. Yeah. You know,
but even in such a competitive division, because we've called it this straight out, right? 77 is group of death.
Group of death for sure.
Yeah.
No.
So you really think the JT is still going to walk it? Still going to get there.
Yep.
What I mean, JT, he's tailor made for this, right? Like, he's got precise wrestling. He loves to scrap. He loves to scramble. His gas tank is never ending, right? It never gets tired.
Yeah, JT was my pick in the analysis videos we did. But just so Ryan and I don't double up on every single pick here, I'm going to mix it up, and I'm going to go with Flepri. I mean, another guy who's right there, probably number two seed, silver medalist last year.
Got to be number two seed. He's taken silver the last two times.
Right. He's been right there 4 years in a row now.
Can you imagine the motivation that's going to give you as well? The fact that he's taken silver two times in a row.
This is all he needs.
This is all he needs.
His legacy secured, and the gi, an ADCC title would wrap it all up. And he's been hinting, you know, at transitioning away from competing a lot.
Well, how old is he now? Like 34?
With a relatively new kid, had a baby last year. And so
coming up on Masters 2. That's a scary
Yeah, it's terrifying. Yeah.
So I think Vegas next year
could get it done. But I'm almost dead certain we're going to see a rematch between JT and Lucas in the final.
I'm going to go Hinato.
Hinato Kanuto.
Hinato Kanuto, man, he's really been turning on Nogi this year. He's been on the Nogi circuit with Kasai. He's another guy. His wrestling isn't as good as JT's, but he's got a good stand up. He's got a great gas tank. He loves to scrambles, and he's just does dynamic stuff. I mean, I could see him going out there and just really selling out. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, him winning the positional game against Lepre or JT, if it goes to the ground, is going to be tough. But I'm going to go with Hinato to show up and disrupt things here in this division.
You know, we've seen this as well, especially in the IBJJF, but also Kasai. The Hinato is such a smart competitor, you know?
Yeah,
he knows how to win. He knows how to score when necessary. He knows how to avoid getting scored on. He doesn't have the ADCC experience as yet. ADCC debut this time around. But he's been working at the Checkmate camp alongside Mateus Gabriel, alongside Bushesha, with Coach Jacob Harmon, with Leo Vieira looking after that ADCC camp. You couldn't ask for somebody with better ADCC experience than Leo Vieira. So, yeah, I'm going to say I think that Hinato is a very, very good pick for getting through to the later rounds.
What about Gary? Gary's a big disruptor here. He jumped back in at the last minute.
Yeah.
It's a scary matchup for anybody.
Man, Gary Tonon is a three-time ADCC veteran. 2013, 2015, 2017. Went through to the fourth place match in 2017 there as well. Great wrestling. Loves to scramble. Loves to mix it up. Very unorthodox. Is a submission finisher as well. You know, he's great at getting on those legs and on the neck. But the only thing about Gary, and it's, I think people are maybe forgetting about Gary a little bit, because two years ago, Gary Tonon was one of the hottest guys in grappling.
Talk of the town.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then made the transition over to MMA. So people are kind of looking past him a little bit, but that's not to say that he hasn't been training grappling, because he has.
He's every day.
He's in with Dana every single day, training, teaching jiu-jitsu as well. So he's plugged into the developments. We just haven't seen him in the competition scenario for a long time. So
yeah, 2 years, entire 2 years, but I mean, 2017 was his last grappling match.
Exactly. Yeah, he had a submission match against Shinya Oki, remember?
I don't remember.
Tapped out Shinya Oki in a grappling match in ONE Championship. That was like his initial foray championship.
Debut, yeah.
Heel hooked Shinya Oki pretty handily, to be honest.
I want to apologize to Gary Tonon. I just realized when we ran the numbers for the submission finishers for this one, he wasn't in there, so we didn't do his numbers.
Oh, because he came in after we did the article?
I guarantee he belongs in that article as one of the best finishers out of his list.
Yeah.
Hal, who's your pick?
So it's a really tough one to pick. I'm kind of torn. I'm torn between Wagner and Lucas.
Mm. Wagner, after the JT match?
Even after the JT match. So I heard through the grapevine that Wagner was not 100% for that match with JT. But Wagner is the kind of guy, he will not make public excuses about anything whatsoever. You know, did not say a word about the fact that he was not 100% for that match. And the word is that he's been training pretty hard at the Fight Sports ADCC camp, right, Ryan?
That's
you were there,
right.
You know.
Yeah, he's very confident, and he believes that this is his year. And honestly, he made a believer out of me, you know. So I would love to see that match with him and JT.
So I think Wagner can go head to head with absolutely anybody in that division.
He's
whether he can
with
win
guys,
or not,
yeah,
he's split wins with many of them. Whether he can win or not, to be honest, you could say this about literally half a dozen of the guys in that division, that it's 50-50. So I'm not saying that he is going to walk it. I don't think anybody's going to walk this division, but I think that he could maybe make some adjustments and, you know, learn something from that match with JT. Because up until that point, don't forget, he had such great momentum. Mm. He had great matches in Kasai, a couple different Kasai matches this year. He's looked really, really tough, taking out some very, very tough guys, including Celso Vinicius, who's also in that division. And, you know, man, he's just a nasty man.
Yeah. You know what I want to see? I want to see Wagner versus Hinato under something besides Kasai rules.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I feel he's like seen it twice now.
He's been,
right?
he's been there so close twice, and you can say those matches were evenly called. But another rule set such as ADCC could really kind of shake things up there, and I think that'd be a really fun match. It's always a great time. So,
yeah.
Question: does anybody fall for the trap and get darsed by Edwin Najmi off a single leg at this tournament? Standing straight up, like come in and shoot on me.
Somebody's gonna. Some poor unsuspecting trials winner will be like, oh, yes, please, I get the 2 points.
DJ will be an interesting one, because DJ probably hasn't been 77 since the last ADCC, so he's He's going to be in DJ.
That is right, Mojo. Yeah, 100%.
Mojo's hype for DJ, yeah.
DJ is going to be in shape for this one. For the first time, no offense, DJ, but probably in top shape for the first time in a long time. And he's got good wrestling. He's like a trator of 77 kilograms, basically. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. 88. Mike, you can go first this time around. 88 kilos. Who you got?
This is the most wide open division, right? This is the one. There's no returning medalists. There's no returning champs that are moving up from another. This is the one where you look at it and you're like, like there's no Gordon here, there's no JT here that everybody's gonna pick or Paulo.
Actually, returning medalists. Murillo is he's a podium finisher. I believe that he took third, like way back. I want to say 2009.
No, but by returning, I mean last time.
From last time,
everyone's gone. I'm gonna go Hanger. I'm gonna go Josh Hanger. He's been up and down lately. I mean, it's. He's going to do it. He's going to lose at Master Worlds and win ADCC less than a month later. I really like the way he looked against Arnaldo Maidana. I think maybe around the Kasai Master Worlds, he was going through some stuff, maybe overtrained, injured, sick. I'm not sure. Arnaldo Maidana, I mean, Josh stomped him. Josh mounted him twice. That's a no-gi black belt world champion. I think Josh matches up well here. Obviously, he's coming out of a great camp at Atos, but I think his wrestling and then his dangerous guillotine combined with that wrestling, he uses the guillotine not only off the feet to defend takedowns, but in passing. Guys play half guard or butterfly guard on him. He gets the chin strap and jumps to it. I think Hanger's real dangerous here. I'm going to go Hanger.
Well, for 88, I'm going to go Matheus Denise.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
spicy.
A good pick.
Very. I mean, look at Matheus. The guy is a freaking gorilla, right? He is an absolute animal of a competitor. And he brings an intensity that a lot of people just simply can't handle. Now, he has wins over Craig Jones. He has wins over Josh Hanger. He has wins over really, really, like, top of the tree kind of
split with Murillo,
guys,
too,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Think about Matheus is he suffers sometimes not performing as he should on the big stage. I think the motivation going into ADCC is going to be the it's going to be the fire that he needs. It's going to be the jet fuel to take him to that next level. And he's going to grow through and he's going to crush. Because what better way to honor Marcelo Garcia, his coach, since he was a colored belt, than to go out there and bring home the ADCC gold medal, you know? I feel that Matheus is going to... He looked super sharp against Josh. He looked great. He looked super tough. And, yeah, I'm calling it, man. I think Matheus is going to do it. He's a smart competitor as well. He knows how to not get sucked into the trap. Craig Jones has fought him twice. Mm. Didn't even get close to a leg lock entry on him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
Matheus is one of those guys that like he never like wins worlds or the stuff, but nobody's looking forward to a Matheus match. He pushes he pushes everybody to the limit. Like he goes out there, he gets on guys like he. The time he lost to Hulk last year, what's he got in his back before it? He's had some good ones with Lowe, with a lot of guys. Matheus is tough.
Ryan, you're next.
You're next. We're going back down the table.
Fine, then. I'll take Craig Jones all day. Ooh. Craig Jones all day.
I should have gone
first. What about Craig is it that does it for you?
You know what's going to sound funny about this, and I said it in the little video I did with Michael, is experience.
Oh, yeah, that counts for a lot.
You know what I mean? And he was the breakout star, the rookie, if you will, at ADCC in 2017 that shocked the world by submitting Leandro Amarillo. He's gone on, of course, to win a bunch of super fights. And I think his time, he spent the whole summer basically training with John Danaher in the basement, getting ready for this tournament. He's with the very best team to win ADCC. His strategy will be on point. And that matters so much at this event. I do think wrestling is a little bit of a weakness there, but he's shown that he can mix it up with the transitions. He had that big throw over Dante Leon at Kasai. He can kind of surprise people when he wrestles up. So I think he stands in a great position. I do want to see him versus Josh Hanger. I think that's the match.
That's never happened, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen.
How crazy is that? Yeah, I'd love to see Josh versus Craig, just because it's such a clash of styles.
Exactly.
One guy was all about the lower body, and one guy was all about the neck. Right?
Yeah, just the neck.
That's unfair, because, you know, Craig has got some great upper body wins. Like, two of the biggest wins of his career were rear naked choke and a triangle.
Yeah.
And Josh has actually got that really savage whole... Monoplata series that he does from the Hanger team, where he gets the omoplata and straight armbar and stuff. It's fantastic.
He's definitely got a neck fetish, though, for sure. Josh Hanger does.
Oh yeah.
But I think Craig is in the right place and has been training basically almost all year for this. It's what he's been focusing on. So
yeah. If anything, though, he hasn't been as active as he usually is, right? And that's one thing about Craig, is that he was man, he was competing like almost every week at one point, it seemed. You know, he was so busy.
And he mentioned to us, though, that that was kind of a drain. Like, that was hard.
It's tough getting up all those different times.
I mean, traveling all around the world and doing so, not easy. So maybe it's a good thing that he's just stuck in one place and just focusing, head down and stuff.
Trying to peak for ADCC.
You know? And a great place to be, yeah.
That's my pick.
It's interesting with Craig to just think he's such a big star in the Nogi world that just 2 years ago he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? Feels like ages ago, but
that's the beauty of ADCC, man. Yeah. You go big here and you're set Make for your life career, basically.
Right?
Yeah.
What about Rustam? That guy's a tough draw, right? Oh. Rustam is just like pops up every 2 years and does ADCC.
I don't see him do anything else ever, right?
He just climbs out of a cave, wakes up from hibernation.
Murillo is another guy too. Murillo is been here a few times and looking at his stats, like he's beaten like I think six guys in this division or something before. He's lost to some of them too, but Murillo's an interesting one as well.
Well, let's Ryan make his pick.
Yeah, definitely should have gone first. I'm taking Craig Jones as well. Okay. Absolute submission hunter, and I mean just came out of nowhere, and I'm expecting a great performance from him. Another guy that I'm looking at is Gabriel Arges.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd say him because he's worth mentioning for sure. Yeah,
he's like a Jamil for me in this weight. Like,
yeah. Yeah, very, very close, actually, in similar in many ways, right? The fact that he's a gi no champion, world champion, sorry, a gi world champion multiple times. And there isn't that much no gi stuff of him to really
at the
look
color
at,
belts,
right?
Really, that's it. He beat Dante recently, but...
Yeah, fight to win rules. There was a very, very close match. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some fight to win matches are really easy to score when it's a decision. And then there are others where you're like, man, like flip a coin, right? It's that close. I feel that match was one of those. It was very, very difficult to say who deserved that one.
Something that worries me about Arges is he's so heavy on the 50-50 game in IBJJF, and 50-50 here is a whole different world, right? Mm-hmm. 50-50 in the gi is like, all right, cool, let's chill, take my time, try and work strategy to get the last sweep. No gi, man, it's just a terrifying place to be. You get in 50-50 with Craig Jones or one of these guys, and you're just on the run from heel hooks the entire time.
I'm looking at the division, though, and I'm not seeing any notable leg lockers apart from Craig.
Hey, Murillo Santana loves heel hooks, if you've seen him in the room. He'll hook some guys. But they all got to be versed in them. Everybody's got to... I mean, yeah. What about Wardzinski?
Oh, man, he is a complete wild card for me.
True dark horse,
I'd
sure.
love to see him do well. I would love to see Wardzinski do well.
Unfortunately, I think he's going to be a really low seed as well because...
European trials doesn't...
And that's the only
doesn't count
only
much.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've never really seen anything else no-gi of him, right? What did he say, Chase? He doesn't even really like no-gi that much?
Yeah, he wasn't... I mean, kind of your standard Polish style, very low-key about the event. You never really see him too over the moon unless he's at like a Kish concert.
That's his game should train. Yeah. He's a gi guy mostly, but his game, butterfly, single leg X, I mean, it's more strongly associated with no gi yet.
That's fair. Right? He looked great. Yeah. I mean, he was playing his game. You know, he didn't have to do a whole new thing. Like Keenan, when you watch him play no gi, it's a whole new world from his gi game, obviously. But Adam looks the same.
Does he still have the mustache?
Stuff.
Is he still rocking the mustache? I saw
truly
it's,
hope so.
It's not a handlebar anymore. He trimmed it down, but I hope he at least has a mustache for this.
It's a good mustache. Mojo is a big fan of mustaches as well.
It seems so. Right? He's going after it. So,
moving on, though. Let's move over to...
Well, we did the under 99 already.
Yeah,
so what about the over 99?
Over 99. Well, this is the Bouchesha show, I think. Everyone's got to say.
I think that's pretty unanimous, right? I got to say, though, I think that this time around, over 99 is possibly more competitive than it's ever been.
Hmm. Like, for sure.
Right?
If you look, I mean, last time we had, like, Jeff Monson and some other guys in there, but that there was when I was looking at over 99 last time, and I think you were looking at it with me, there was a few guys that were like, oh, wow, this guy was at ADCC in 2017, but, yeah, there's a lot of killers in there.
So let's just run through some of these names. You've got silver medalist Orlando Sanchez. You got former... absolute champion Roberto Cyborg. You've got
Orlando's former silver
medalist. He's a gold medalist in 2015, a silver medal in 2017. You got silver medalist Jared Dopp. You got Joao Gabriel. You got Kynan. You got Muhammad Ali. You got a lot of tough guys.
You got Yuri
moving up a division. He could become the first ever three weight class ADCC champion.
Massive Muhammad Ali. Ultra heavy version Muhammad Ali.
Have you seen him lately?
Yes. Oh my God.
250 pounds. He's got to be probably about 4% body fat.
Yeah.
Looking scary.
Terrifying.
Nick Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. You got Nick Rodriguez in there. It's not going to be an easy out for anybody.
Joao Gabriel? Have we said his name yet?
He's another silver medalist. Yeah.
Man, if Nick Rodriguez fights Muhammad Ali, right? And it goes to a decision. I think they should have just like a pose off, like to determine the winner.
Who's the most jacked? This division is like the Marvel superhero division plus Orlando Sanchez, basically.
Orlando Sanchez wrote on social media.
He's the juggernaut.
He's the juggernaut. But he wrote on social media he's 325 pounds right now. That's terrifying.
He's got to be the biggest guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
In terms of weight, he's got to be the biggest guy.
And good luck moving him around.
Hard to move.
Yeah.
Man, he gets on top of guys in Turtle. They can't even, I mean, you're never getting out. Yeah.
How do you submit that guy? How do you tap Orlando Sanchez?
I don't think you do.
I think you got to do the eye poke. Yeah. It's the only way.
Yuri is an inch. Kynan and Yuri are guys that seem like, by their size, they should be 99 kilogram guys. But
right.
Kynan obviously doesn't want to fight Hulk. Kynan's a tough guy. Like, he's another guy that I'm not going to doubt him. He passed Leandro Losgaard in the World's Final. He's done a lot of crazy stuff. I could see him. I don't know if he beats Buchecha. I think Kynan probably gets on the podium.
You know what's fascinating as well is that Yuri has never faced Buchecha.
Yeah.
Gi or no gi. Now, for many years, they were teammates because Yuri was checkmate for a long time. I think he made the switch over in like, I don't know, he moved to Kyos in like 2013, something like that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's still 6 years ago, but even then, like, they've never, ever faced off in competition. I find it crazy. But Yuri is definitely a wild card in this division for me as well.
This is a really I haven't seeded this one for an article yet, and I'm looking at it now. I'm not looking forward to it because this looks like it's a really tough one to seed. You get multiple ADCC champs, multiple silver medalists, and then you got some up-and-comers like Kynan.
Joao Gabriel who just lost to Cyborg in the Grand Prix, but you know
you got four ADCC champs in here. Yeah. You got Buchecha, you got Yuri, who both won it last time. Then you got Orlando and Cyborg who've won it before. You got Joao Gabriel and Jop who've been silver medalists. You got Kainan Ali. Like, man, this is not going to be a fun one to see.
But it's going to be a really fun one to watch. This is going to be bananas. Yeah. Like,
but I don't think anybody wants to pick against Buchecha, though, right?
That's the move. Yeah. But let's pose a question here.
Yeah.
Will Buchecha do and win the absolute finally? It's the only title he doesn't have in his career. ADCC
that's another
absolute
thing.
Winner.
I think he's going to come in with the singular focus of the absolute division this time. Mm-hmm. My only concern is that the physical toll put upon him by competing in the over 99 kilogram division here at ADCC, the size and the challenge, the physical challenge of going up against guys like Orlando, against guys like Cyborg, against Joao Gabriel. How much do you have left in the gas tank to then go on and do the absolute, where you can potentially face half of those guys again?
Well, you got to think talk about the energy expenditure here. You got guys like Orlando, Cyborg, Joao Gabriel, who are just like mountains. Like, how do you move them? They're so strong, they're so big. Or you're going to get guys like Nick Rodriguez, guys like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, get in your face,
Yuri
and Samos, super physical.
And Kynan,
Yuri's
going to
be a scrap. You're either going to get like just mountains? A rock that you can't move, or like, I don't know, just a superhuman coming after you for 10 minutes. Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking about the absolute, like, I have to think Gordon's focus is the absolute this year, right? Yeah, he is 100% looking towards doing the absolute, and he wants that gold. He's so close, he can taste it, right? Mm-hmm. Last time he got the silver medal, that backtake against Felipe. No Felipe around this time. He went through a lot of those guys pretty handily last time, right? He beat Cyborg. He beat Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. Those are some very, very tough men. So how does Gordon stack up in that division?
I mean,
absolute.
Going into it, you're thinking it's him or Buchecha, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's him and Buchecha. That's the match.
That's the final. Yeah, right? That's the one we want to see.
I want to see Gordon versus Orlando, too. Like, are you leg locking Orlando? Yeah. Have you seen his legs? Like,
I hope Orlando does it this time. If we can get Gordon Buchecha, absolute final, super fight, Pergisa, Galvao, that'd be incredible. Those two matches, I mean, that would be legit. Like, those two fighting the winner of that would be crazy.
Yeah. Really would, man. I'm so pumped for the absolute.
From the smaller weight classes, do you see anybody like at 88 or?
Oh yeah, I see some guys going in and messing some stuff up.
And
I can see Mateus Denis doing well in the absolute.
Yeah,
he's a brawler.
He'd step up. Yeah. Yeah, he'd throw down in there.
I see Josh Hinger doing the absolute just
for sure.
Giggles.
For sure. Yeah.
I see Hulk. I see Dylan Danis doing the absolute.
Gaugio for sure. I think we'll be in there.
Oh, Gaugio wants some. Yeah, Gaugio wants some of that for sure. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Kynan does it. You think Kynan gets in there?
Nah.
Nah.
I don't see it happening.
Got an F for Keenan? What do you think, Chase?
With Keenan's...
Depends on the performance in the weight class, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think if he wins, maybe not. But if he doesn't win, I can see him doing it.
He's got to lose in the weight.
Satisfied. He would be satisfied with a gold medal if he were to get it. But even if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't do it, I think that Keenan's very mindful about the physical effects of jiu-jitsu on his body.
Smart.
And he's talked openly about the fact that he's had serious neck problems for years, you know? Mm-hmm. You really want to risk that? Against guys like Orlando, guys like Cyborg. Like
you know who's doing the absolute? John Combs. John Combs.
Oh,
100%
yeah.
100% doing the absolute.
Man, remember that match of Cyborg and John
match.
Combs?
He was Nokia winning Worlds. That for a little bit.
Yeah. It was insane. Yeah.
John Combs got a dangerous guillotine. Really, really built for this, too. Question for you. If Keenan loses his weight, does Coach Gordon make him do the absolute again?
Yeah, good question. Also, you know who else said that he's likely to be coaching Keenan? John Danaher.
We
got an interview up with Danaher on the site this morning, so you can go check that out. But you know, he gives a very thorough assessment of Keenan's no-gi game and explains a little bit about how it's been to have Keenan in the gym for the last couple of weeks and training together. But then when we asked him outright, what are you going to do? Are you going to coach Keenan? And he said, I'm going to speak to Gordon, but probably. So that's really cool. So Danaher could be running out, coaching Gordon, running back, and then coming back out, coach Keenan, and coming back.
He's going to be a busy guy. He's got a big team going there.
He does. He has a lot of guys competing this year. Yeah, Hendo's, they've got Nikki at 66.
Nikki. They got Gary, 77. Craig, 88.
Taza.
Right.
Taza 77.
77 as well, yeah.
And then I'd assume he's coaching Rodriguez at Ultra Heavy, and then or over 99.
Actually, no, Ultra Heavy, I imagine that'll be Jay Regalbuto.
He's going to be, okay.
Yeah, because Nick has been training in the basement with like all the Danaher's tour squad guys, but Nick is from South Jersey, which is literally hours and hours away.
Oh, they speak a whole different language down there. Yeah. Okay, work. Yeah.
And he was kind of discovered, groomed, and he's been trained from the ground up by Jay Regalbuto, who's a really well-established Ricardo Almeida black belt in that area. And I got to say, just one thing, that guy... Jay, smart, smart dude. Great commentator as well, actually. It's almost a shame that he's got Nick competing in this event, because we would have had him on the commentary duties for this. But he's done a bunch of fight wins. Great commentator. But Jay has been scooping up all these former wrestlers. And Nick is by no means the only one. He's got a couple of guys who have graduated, and they're like, what do I do now? You know, college is over. Like, the last couple of years, I've done nothing but wrestle at the highest level. Now what? Like, I'm not going to go walk onto the world team. I ain't taking Jordan Burroughs or Kyle Dake's spot. Like, what do I do now? And he's like, come with me, son. Like,
let's go fight a Naga.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Come with me. Yeah, yeah. This is jiu-jitsu. Look at what you can do. These guys are walking in there. They're such high-level wrestlers. They're probably, like, you know, with the physical capacity and the body awareness, they're probably at, like, a high purple belt level in terms of body control as it is. You just got to plug in that jiu-jitsu, right? Mm-hmm.
Question for you. I just thought about this talking about the Danaher team, because who do you think's got a better squad going in here? Henzo's or Atos? They all got a bunch of studs. They got guys at every weight.
I got to go with Henzo's.
Henzo's.
I think.
I don't know if it's that cut and dry. You got JT. Hanger. You got
three guys in at 66, mm-hmm. right? You've got Pablo Mantovani, who was a third place finisher. You've got Tyro Otola, Bruno Fazzato. You got 77, you got JT. 88's got Perez and Hinger. 99's got Hulk. Over 99's got Kynan.
They got a good squad, too.
I think if you looked at it in pure numbers, I think the
Atos might have more.
Squad is deeper than Henzo's. You know the only way to solve this?
Dual meet.
Dual meet.
We need a dual meet. Yeah, ADCC weights, dual meet. Atos versus
head-to-head series of matches, ADCC weight classes, 66, 77, 88, 99, over 99. We get the best guy from each team. We put him in a room, and they go.
Who would it be? It would be Pablo versus Nicky. JT versus Gary.
Yeah.
Wow. Hanger versus Craig. Gordon versus Hulk.
Hulk.
Kynan versus Nick Rodriguez. Oh, I'll buy that one. I'll pay. Even though I got a free subscription, I'll sign up.
Just putting it out there, you know, no pressure, guys. You know, like, we're not saying that one of you is going to win, one you're going to lose, but one team is better than the other, so how are you going to prove that? Okay, there's only one way to do it.
Very sassy.
Awesome. Hey, just, you know, wrapping up real quick, the ADCC stuff. So much to talk about. Super excited about it. But let's not forget that Fight to Win's been rolling along the entire time. Last weekend, they had a great Fight to Win show in San Jose. And Hudson Mateus was up against Gutenberg Pereira in the
main
event. You guys see that?
Insane finish.
Fastest submission in a fight to win main event in history.
Man, that was wild, right? Like, they fought. Only other time they fought was at color belts, I believe.
Right.
And then
last time it was brown belt.
We were watching it after. I mean, if you guys follow jiu-jitsu, you know Hudson's got that killer 50-50 arm lock.
It's no secret.
It's almost ridiculous that he keeps getting it on guys, right?
Yeah.
And then we were watching it afterwards. I even talked with Gutenberg after, and it's so obvious watching it afterwards. Like, he conceded the 50-50 sweep because he had the grips he wanted for that arm lock, and he's like, I'm going to get swept and try and set up this 50-50 arm lock.
And he got it in less than a minute. Yeah. And man, it was nasty.
It looked really,
you see
really
the
painful.
Angle on his arm. Mm-hmm. Like, you say Gutenberg's all right though.
Yeah, no, I talked to him. He says all good. It looked like good. Broken arm or something, but yeah, he says he's good.
You saw Hudson's face. It's like, you know, he wasn't smiling, but when Gutenberg was going for the ankle lock, he's like,
That's where those fight to win rules play in too. Because I feel like in an IBJJF match, if Gutenberg knocks into his hips off the single leg X, he's just coming on top. But he's probably thinking, I'll try and get a little credit for this ankle lock or whatever. But Hudson had other plans.
Good point.
Man, I got to say, I think Gutenberg he played the wrong strategy in that. He went out too hard, too fast. And he went for that sweep right off the bat. And fight to win rules, they don't really reward that kind of thing that highly, right? So he could have saved that for later in the match. But I feel that his last couple of fight to win appearances, that he's suffered by being... You know, he's had a lack of aggression. You saw his match with Urbeth. You saw his other matches. It's like he felt like, oh man, I got to go out there and I got to do it. I got to put on a good show. Otherwise, they won't have me back or whatever. And
yeah,
didn't quite work out.
But I love Gutenberg. Everybody knows I'm Team Gutenberg, but I feel like he's got to get back. Remember when he was a brown belt, how physical he was. When he first came in at black belt, how physical. Now he's like trying to lay back and, you know,
be
play
technical.
This slow strategic game. No, you're a monster, dude. You're big. You're mean. Go out there, hit guys. Go out there, hit guys in the mouth and smash them GFT style. I think Gutenberg's got to get back to that and really get aggressive with these guys.
Yeah, the other great finish as well was in the co-main event with Caixinho versus Richard Nogueira.
Omoplata King.
Man, beautiful omoplata from Caixinho. He was looking for it from the entire match. He had that collar sleeve, and he was like going lasso. He was going out. And as soon as that elbow came free, he popped up on it. And man, it's kind of a really interesting finish as well, because I don't know if you guys saw, but he was looking to hook his leg underneath the far leg. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen both him and Clark Gracie do it, right? And it's beautiful, but couldn't quite get that. But he ended up like coming around at such an angle that he kind of grabbed Richard's near side leg and finished it almost like a bow and arrow choke finish. It was really interesting. We'll throw up the link in the live chat a little bit later, but it's really, really unique finish to a fantastic submission finish.
Does Caixinho have the best omoplata in the game right now? I think it's arguable. He gets that position a lot.
It's got to be him and Clark go head to head in a omoplata battle.
I think Caixinho, right?
I think Caixinho's underrated. I think he should be on Clark. He just doesn't have the cool photos of being held up in the air looking at the camera like Clark. I think he should be on that status of like a omoplata master for sure.
Merigali's got a pretty good omoplata though, right?
Yeah, he does.
He plays that collar sleeve
too.
But coming up, fight to win 123 million. I can't remember. 126 is coming up. Yeah. Man, we've been rolling through those fight to wins at a rate of knots. Coming up this weekend in San Diego, which is, of course, is a hotbed of jiu-jitsu, the mecca of jiu-jitsu, and we got some big matches. Main event: Marcio Andre versus Gutierrez Barboza. Very, very intriguing match. I'll just throw some matches at you. Marcio Andre, Gutierrez Barboza, Gustavo Batista. Just won the King of Mats there in LA last weekend up against Felipe Bezerra of Checkmat. Tamara Ferreira versus Luana Alzugir. Tubby Alquin versus Gabby McComb. Luisa Montero versus Janaina Maya. Ronaldo Jr. versus Mateus Luna. PJ Barge, the comeback against Sergio Rios. And then a bunch of very, very good names, including Conor DeAngelis, Johnny Tama, Barrett Yoshida, and many, many.
Very solid card.
Any matches jump out for you there?
I think Gutierrez takes Mars, so he's got the size advantage. Gutierrez, very underrated. He's been beating a lot of good guys at black belt.
I'm looking forward to that match, though. That's absolutely one of my favorites.
Tamara and Luan is a good one. Tamara, a lot of people might not know about her. She just got her black belt not long ago, but she's been beating black belts in the UAE for a while.
Yeah, she's been cleaning up on the UAE.
She just got her black belt after Worlds, right?
Yeah. Got her black belt after Worlds, and Luan is obviously a legend. That's a crazy one.
Ronaldo and Mateus is a fun match. Yeah. I feel like, have we seen that before? No,
they're not a black belt anyway.
Right. But both are like extremely physical competitors. Ronaldo's one of my favorite guys to watch. He's just an animal, and he thrives on a fight to win stage where he knows he can just go unleash his athleticism for 8 minutes straight.
This is PJ Barch's first grappling match since November last year when he blew his knee out at ADCC trials.
Yeah, that was brutal. I'm glad to see him back.
Yeah, Tubby and Gabby McComb should be a scrap too. They get after it.
I really like this match. I was about to say, Tubby, a.k.a. Amanda Alaquin, that's her actual name, but everybody calls her Tubby. She was at Nogi Pans last week, and you know, I really like watching her.
She closed out with Toledo.
She did. Yeah. I really like watching her compete because she's just really aggressive. She's got a really exciting style. Just, you know, like you say, scrapper. And that's exactly kind of what Gabby McComb is like, right?
Gabby McComb's mean. Gabby McComb smashes girls, man. Like, it does not look fun. She's beat some really good girls in her short black belt career.
I think that's a Nogi match as well. So that's great because Tubby obviously hit the podium last week, and Gabby McComb has been one of Beatriz Mosquita's main training partners for ADCC. So
I would say Ronaldo has a size advantage there, but we saw one of the Lunas at Master Worlds look pretty giant. So I don't know if that's the one he's fighting or not. But.
Yeah, the twins, Mateus and Matias Luna, they got their black belts at Masters Worlds.
That's right.
Phenomenal. But it is funny because one of them has got big. Can't
it's
remember
it's
which
not
one
the
is.
One that fights Ultra, though, is what you're telling me.
No, Matias is the one, I believe, that fights Ultra Heavy,
which
but he's
way,
not.
Way,
he's like 170, yeah. But his brother has actually bulked up to super heavyweight, so he's like 200-plus pounds.
Those are the two hardest guys to tell. I mean, now at least one of them is huge, but it was always those are the two hardest guys to tell apart.
Way
for
worse
me.
Than the Meow brothers.
Oh, yeah. Even before I could tell the Meow apart, you got the tooth thing to help you. So.
It's true. You just have to hope that you make Paolo smile. That's not easy.
Yeah, that's a incredible fight to win card.
Yeah, it really is.
Lucky Southern California, they got that card, and then a week later, ADCC.
Reed's going to be out there for that as well. Reed's going to be in San Diego. That's why he's not on the podcast today. He flies out tomorrow. He's going to hit that fight to win tomorrow night, and then he's going to do a little road trip around Southern California for the week leading up to ADCC. So, man,
it's coming, guys. It's coming. Excited.
So, no show next week because we're going to be in California. Ha ha ha. Right? But hopefully you'll join us because it's ADCC coming up and you can watch everything live on Flow Grappling. Not only the competition on the Saturday, Sunday, 28th, 29th of September, but also for the first time ever, we're live streaming on the Friday night the bracket reveal.
Oh, yes.
Now, this is huge because ADCC, they do not publish their brackets until the very last minute on the Friday afternoon. After everybody's weighed in and checked, after any last-minute changes have been made, it's going to happen. Some people pull out, they get sick, they miss weight, whatever. But the brackets get made, finalized on Friday afternoon, and then we're going to have a very special live broadcast show. And the competitors won't even have seen the brackets either. You'll get to see their reactions as they drop. So we're expecting some fireworks at that, right?
Can't wait for that moment.
Can't wait.
There'll be some interesting reactions when they find out.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of side-eye going on. It'll be like, damn, I got that guy first round.
I guess some of them, if it's you and two teammates in the bracket, you know there's just one guy getting thrown in with you, so it's not as crazy, but yeah.
True.
But what about Arena?
We've got Flow Grappling Arena, which is the best way that you could possibly follow along the ADCC tournament. You've got live brackets with live results. You've got notifications that you can send through to your phone even. Basically, it's all free. Just go in there. You hit the Arena tab at the top of Flow Grappling, and it's the entire interactive bracket for every single division. And on there, it's got links through to the matches live as they're happening, registers the points in real time as they're being scored. And if the match is already over, then you can relive the action by just clicking on the match link, and it'll take you straight through to watch the video of the full thing. So
I still phenomenal. I still use it to this day for 2017. You can find ADCC 2017 on Arena if you want to check it out and just look at the bracket. Then you just, you know, left click on whatever match you want and the video starts. It's amazing.
So ADCC going to be the best ever, right?
Can't wait. Let's go. Let's go right now.
Awesome. Guys, won't see you next week. We'll see you at ADCC. Don't miss it. See you soon.